TUC Radio, San Francisco. Time of Useful Consciousness. The Articles of Impeachment of President George W. Bush. Professor Francis Boyle was trained in the same PhD program at Harvard University that produced Henry Kissinger and Zbigniew Brzezinski. However, Professor Boyle chose to become a respected expert on international law. He is tenured professor at the University of Illinois College of Law and a consultant to Amnesty International. He has defended nation states in the International Court of Justice and advised the Hawaiians and Palestinians on sovereignty. He is the author of many books, including Defending Civil Resistance Under International Law. Professor Francis Boyle has drafted 6 articles of impeachment of President George W. Bush, similar to those introduced by the late Representative Henry Gonzalez against Bush Sr. at the beginning of the Gulf War. Professor Boyle added, as an impeachable offense, the efforts of the current administration to suspend constitutionally guaranteed rights, build a police state, and prepare to use the military against the American people. Professor Boyle has offered his legal expertise for free to any member of Congress who may wish to initiate the impeachment procedure of George W. Bush. If members were willing to move forward with impeachment against former President Bill Clinton on the rather trivial evidence of sexual misbehavior, there should be members willing to step forward in this matter of grave national and international importance. I interviewed Professor Francis Boyle on January 24, 2003. You drafted 6 articles of impeachment, and let's focus directly on the ones related to war. I'm going to article number 3. I'm quoting you here. George W. Bush has violated the U.S. Constitution, federal law, and the United Nations Charter by bribing, intimidating, and threatening others, including the members of the United Nations Security Council, to support belligerent acts against Iraq. Can you elaborate on this charge?
Yes. If you take a look at what has happened in the last several months, you will see, for example, even in the Washington Post, let alone the New York Times, but the Washington Post right there in the capital of the United States, it has been publicly reported that basically in order to get votes on the Security Council for war against Iraq, Bush Jr. has been pretty much auctioning off Iraqi oil, which they do not own in the first place, promising oil concessions in particular to France and Russia. Also, they are right now promising Turkey all sorts of grants and debt write-offs and a variety of other things to get them to go along with war against Iraq. The ambassador of Mauritius was threatened, and the government of Mauritius, and had to recall the ambassador because on the Security Council he objected. So this is the pattern we're seeing. Some call it diplomacy, but basically this article of the impeachment calls it bribing, threatening, and intimidating others, states, to go along with a war against Iraq.
Let's go on to article number 4. I'm quoting you again. George W. Bush has prepared, planned, and conspired to engage in a massive war and catastrophic aggression against Iraq by employing methods of mass destruction that will result in the killing of hundreds and thousands of civilians, many of whom will be children. This planning includes the threatened use of nuclear weapons.
On the first count, the United Nations has already estimated that a war against Iraq would produce about 500,000 casualties. I believe that's an underestimate. The Bush Sr. war against Iraq killed about 200,000 people. 100,000 soldiers and 100,000 civilians. And many of those soldiers were out of combat and therefore not legitimate targets for attack. So I personally believe the 500,000 estimate by the UN is probably a significant underestimate. If you look at the war plans that are being talked about, they are going to attack the Iraqi cities, Basra, Tikrit, and especially the capital, Baghdad, a city of 5 million people. And it's very clear that there will be a massive bombing campaign and basically a siege. So I think there will be enormous civilian casualties. In addition, in the so-called nuclear posture review, Bush Jr. has already ordered the Pentagon to draw up a war plan for the first use of nuclear weapons against Iraq. We know that during the Bush Sr. war against Iraq, nuclear weapons were deployed on U.S. warships in the Persian Gulf. And my guess is that is going on right now as we speak. Those aircraft carriers, I believe, do have nuclear weapons on them.
How do we know that?
That's been publicly reported. If you're interested, a book by Ramsey Clark called The Fire This Time, Thunder's Mouth Press, that has a our conclusions of an investigation on the first Gulf War and citations to public record sources. But again, all U.S. aircraft carriers have nuclear weapons on them, and right now there are two aircraft carrier task forces there and two more on the way.
Also, quite a few people argue that the use of depleted uranium was really a form of nuclear war.
Clearly, we used depleted uranium the first time. We're going to use it again. AC-130 gunships are already deployed over there. They have DU munitions on them. And these weapons are illegal under the Hague regulations of 1907, yes.
Now, that part of the Article 4 of your impeachment article was actually very amazing to me because I didn't know war was actually that highly regulated. You cite the Hague regulations on land warfare and Hague rules on air warfare, the four Geneva Conventions, the Nuremberg Charter, and several more, actually. Can you, as a professor of international law, comment on what these conventions are and what role they have played so far in war and international law?
Yes, the United States government is a party and is bound by all the rules set forth in the different sources that I cite in Article 4. This is beyond dispute. Even I mentioned U.S. Army Field Manual 2710, that applies to President Bush himself, Vice President Cheney, Secretary of Defense Rumsfeld, and Deputy Secretary Wolfowitz. There is no dispute that these rules do apply to the conduct of warfare, and it's also very clear that they are currently planning to violate these rules. If you look at the war plans that are being talked about, and indeed, in the first Gulf War, these rules were violated. So the position I've taken here in Article 4 is that these are impeachable offenses.
Are these rules specifically about treatment of civilian populations?
Well, for the most part, they do protect civilians, yes. But there are also protections in there for members of armed forces. For example, if soldiers are wounded or sick, or otherwise incapacitated, they are no longer legitimate targets for attack or trying to surrender. And we saw a wholesale violation even of those rules during the first Gulf War by Bush Sr., where soldiers who were trying to surrender were killed, or who were out of combat, who no longer had weapons, were killed. So my guess is, again, we're just going to see a wholesale slaughter over there in Iraq with every type of high-tech weapon system, the United States government has developed. Now, this time, the difference is they will be used on Iraqi cities, and so we're going to see massive civilian casualties as well.
Can you give a brief synopsis of what the Nuremberg Charter is?
Yes. President Franklin Roosevelt decided that there should be a trial for the major Nazi war criminals after the Second World War. Churchill and Stalin did not want a trial, but President Roosevelt felt it would be important to have a trial and administer justice, not just take these people out and shoot them. That was what was supposed to separate us from them. So in the charter for the tribunal to try them, there were set forth three crimes: crimes against peace, that is, waging an aggressive war, a war in violation of international treaties and agreements, and that charge you will find later in the Article 6 of my impeachment resolution. War crimes, I think we all have a general idea of what war crimes are, and crimes against humanity, namely exterminating civilians, the civilian population. So that is where the Nuremberg Charter, the judgment, and later what are called the Nuremberg Principles came from. And it's very clear that this war, if it goes forward, will involve violation of the Nuremberg Charter, Judgment, and Principles, as the first Gulf War did by Bush Sr.
Now, in its use and application, this is maybe a little detour here, but one of the people executed was a media person.
That's correct, inciting international crimes. And indeed, right now, today, there have been prosecutions in the International Criminal Tribunal for Rwanda for media people inciting international crimes. The principles of the Nuremberg Charter, Judgment, and Principles have been carried forward into the International Criminal Tribunal for Yugoslavia, the International Criminal Tribunal for Rwanda, and the Rome Statute for the International Criminal Court. That is why the Bush Jr. administration has been doing everything humanly possible to sabotage the International Criminal Court. They do not want an International Criminal Court based on Nuremberg accountability staring over their shoulder. And, by the way, as for news media people, I have twice debated Bill O'Reilly on Fox News Live. And certainly if anyone would qualify for that type of accountability, it would be a fellow like O'Reilly, who literally goes up there and screams for blood on Fox News.
It's also a strange reversal, looking at the history you just outlined, of having been once in a progressive position. I mean, the U.S. government at the end of World War II and asking for formal trials, and now not wanting to subject to the rule of law that it itself has had a huge role in implementing.
It is a very sad commentary indeed. My father, after Pearl Harbor, enlisted in the Marine Corps and invaded Saipan, Tinian, and Okinawa. It was a miracle he had survived that far then. The war ended, went to law school. And so many people of that generation came back from that war experience and decided there had to be a better way, a rule of law, and not war. And unfortunately, what we are seeing here with Bush Jr. and his henchmen, I don't know any other word for them, and henchwoman Condoleezza Rice, is another generation not scarred by war. Indeed, most of these people are chicken hawks. They all ducked out on Vietnam, reverting to what can only be said Nazi doctrines of law. Vice President Cheney made two speeches late this last summer to the VFW and the Korean War vets, advocating a doctrine of preventive warfare or preemptive warfare. That was expressly rejected at Nuremberg when the lawyers for the Nazi defendants tried to use it to justify some of the wars that they had engaged in during the course of the Second World War.
Now, moving right along to Article Number 5, you address there George W. Bush's actions without congressional consent, and you write that he systematically eliminated every option for peaceful resolution of the Persian Gulf crisis.
Yes, we know now, even Rumsfeld has admitted that he immediately began planning for this war against Iraq on September 12th, 2001. That is right after the terrible tragedy of September 11th. Despite the fact there's no evidence at all to believe Iraq was involved in that, and everything they've done consistently since September 12th has been moving towards this war and eliminating any effort for a peaceful resolution of this dispute as required by the United Nations Charter and the Kellogg-Briand Pact of 1928 that repudiated war as an instrument of foreign policy. And yet that is exactly what we're seeing here with respect to Iraq, a war as an instrument of American foreign policy. And we prosecuted Nazis at Nuremberg for violating the Kellogg-Briand Pact. It is also clear Bush Jr. does not have a declaration of war from Congress. He doesn't have it. The War Powers Clause clearly requires a declaration of war. Our founding fathers felt that the most awesome decision this republic could make would be to go to war, and had an express requirement for a declaration of war. He doesn't have it, whatever he says. And it's also clear the public opinion polls right now show that the American people do not support a war against Iraq. So that is found in Article 5, those charges, yes. We need to act immediately by putting in a bill of impeachment. And remember, when Congressman Drinan from Massachusetts put in a bill of impeachment against Nixon, people thought that was somewhat unrealistic. And yet, sure enough, ultimately Nixon resigned to avoid impeachment.
Well, it seems surely looking at recent history, if you can consider impeaching a president on the evidence of a blue dress, you should surely think about impeachment on such a matter of life and death.
Yeah, you're right. It basically was a sexual escapade, and they tried to impeach him over that. Well, these are very serious matters, especially Article 1, the attempt by Bush and Ashcroft to set up a police state here in the United States, which is clearly what they've been doing since September 11th, 2001. And if they do go to war against Iraq, we will see the further consolidation and progression of a police state in America in the name of carrying forth that war.
It is not only affecting others, it will affect everybody, and you make that case really well.
Right. At the start, it was very clear they were trying to say, well, we're only going after foreigners living in our midst. But one has to understand that as a law professor, the black letter rule was that foreigners basically had most of the constitutional rights as the rest of us. And yet all of a sudden we saw them being rounded up, mass detentions, deprived access to attorneys, you name it. And then they started to proceed after the rights of U.S. citizens. They're now infiltrating mosques with government agents. We have two United States citizens currently being detained in military brigs simply because the government says they're enemy combatants. It's an ipsa dixit. We say so, and therefore it is. Mr. Padilla was not even captured on a field of battle. He was arrested at Chicago O'Hare Airport, and he's now sitting in a military brig. Reinstating the infamous COINTEL program, the Total Information Awareness Program under John Poindexter, a convicted criminal, and finally this Northern Military Command for the United States of America. There's now a military command, and it seems pretty clear the next step will be martial law. if you are interested, the whole bill of particulars can be found on counterpunch.org. If you just go through the list, I also have a new book out called The Criminality of Nuclear Deterrence: Will the U.S. War on Terrorism Go Nuclear? Clarity Press, 2002, and I go through all the developments through March, massive attack on civil rights and civil liberties, with the appropriate footnotes. And then if you hit counterpunch.org, again, under my name, you'll see another essay, a later one entitled Bush's Banana Republic.
What about the Northern Military Command?
Yeah, they openly brag about it. You can read about it in the pages of the New York Times. And, well, again, it seems pretty clear to me they're preparing the stage for martial law. This happened in the Reagan administration when the Reagan administration was preparing to invade Nicaragua, again, another clearly illegal war. 200,000 people had taken what's known as the Pledge of Resistance, saying that they would engage in acts of civil resistance against the Reagan administration, whereupon Reagan ordered Oliver North to draw up an executive order that would provide for putting select areas of the country under martial law, which basically would mean you'd send in the army, and anyone not doing what they were told to do would either be shot or taken into custody and deprived access of court and detained. Reagan did sign this. That's been, you know, reported as a matter of public record, scholarly literature. So it would not surprise me if they already have a similar executive order already signed. Detention camps have been prepared by FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Administration. So, you know, everything's there. I also allege a violation of the Posse Comitatus Act. The Posse Comitatus Act prohibits the use of the military for domestic law enforcement purposes, but it's pretty clear the military is involved and getting involved and will be further involved in domestic law enforcement. The military, Northern Military Command, is more dangerous in that basically it's not just a question of domestic law enforcement, but preparation for martial law, either for the whole country or selective portions of the country. Clearly, this war is all about oil. There's no other reason to be going over there. That was the first Gulf War. Jim Baker even publicly stated the purpose of the war was oil and to preserve our standard of living. Nothing has changed here. The Bush family has enormous investments in oil, as does Cheney, as does Condoleezza Rice. So these people are basically treating the members of our armed forces as a mercenary class to go over and steal the oil and expose them to death and grave risk of bodily and mental, emotional harm. We still have left over from Gulf War I by Bush Sr. and many of the same people here, Cheney, the Gulf War syndrome. Probably 100,000 U.S. armed forces out of a 500,000 are currently suffering from the Gulf War syndrome. Maybe a conservative estimate is that 15,000 have died, and the Pentagon is still lying, denying, and covering up and saying there is no such thing as a Gulf War syndrome. So it's going to happen all over again. We'll send another 250,000-300,000 people over there, primarily poor whites, blacks, and Latinos, to steal the oil. And the people who did this to our veterans in the last Gulf War are now back in power, and they're going to give us another one.
In closing, what is needed to make this fly?
I need, at this point in time, one member of the U.S. House of Representatives to put the bill of impeachment in. I'm willing to offer my services free of charge as the lawyer and counsel on this project. If I get the member, obviously that member might want to revise the bill of impeachment. adding more in, taking some things out, that's fine with me. I'm happy to do that work as I did for Congressman Henry B. Gonzalez back in 1991. I served as counsel to Congressman Gonzalez on his impeachment resolution against President Bush Sr. over his Gulf War. And we get this introduced into Congress as soon as possible, and then everyone mobilizes behind it. And as Congressman McDermott suggested, we need a million people out in the streets exercising their First Amendment rights and all chanting impeach Bush. I think that message will get through. This president was not elected by the American people. He lost the election. He stole the presidential election at the United States Supreme Court in violation of the Constitution, in violation of a federal statute, both of which dealt with disputed elections. So he knows he has no Democratic mandate or legitimacy. He has one war against Afghanistan, now another war against Iraq. I think we have to make it clear to him that if he goes to war against Iraq, there's a good chance he will be impeached, pretty much like what happened to Nixon, and hopefully that will deter him. If it doesn't deter him, we'll move forward to impeach him.
Thank you so much, Professor Boyle. Best of luck. Thanks for your time.
Well, again, thank you very much for having me on today.
That was an interview with Professor Francis Boyle, Professor of Law at the University of Illinois. He holds 2 degrees from Harvard University and is a world-renowned expert on international law. He has defended nation states in the International Court of Justice and given expertise and support to indigenous rights movements. His most recent book is The Criminality of Nuclear Deterrence, with a foreword by the late Philip Berrigan. I hope you have a pen handy to take down a phone number. You can find more information on the impeachment of George W. Bush and the full text of the 6 articles of impeachment on TUC Radio's website, www.tucradio.org. That's tucradio.org. Look under newest programs. You can get information how to order a copy of the interview with Professor Francis Boyle by calling us. Ask us for the full text of the articles of impeachment, and we'll be happy to enclose them. TUC Radio is listener-supported and free to all radio stations. Your tape order helps us stay on the air. Call us toll-free anytime at 877-TUC-TAPE for information on how to order. You can get your tape by mail or credit card, by phone or on the web. Our toll-free phone number, 877-TUC-TAPE, translates into 877-882-8273. My name is Maria Gelarden. Thank you for listening. Give us a call.